Today is Thursday, May 28, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover a benchmark that exposes a 3.5 times cost per resolution gap between GPT 5.5 and Claude Opus 4.7, and what a practitioner-documented multi-model audit loop reveals about the real quality problem in AI-generated enterprise artifacts. Let's start with a number that belongs in a CFO conversation, $8.29 versus $29.09. That is the cost per successful resolution gap between GPT 5.5 and Claude Opus 4.7 on real-world software repair tasks, and it is 3.5 times wider in favor of GPT 5.5. If you are running an engineering organization that uses agentic coding at any meaningful scale, that gap is not a technical footnote, it is a line item. Here is where those numbers come from. DataCurve.ai publishes a benchmark called DeepSWE, analyzed publicly by Matthew Berman. Unlike the SWEbench Pro benchmark most teams have been referencing, DeepSWE tests AI agents against real open-source repositories spanning TypeScript, JavaScript, Python, Go, and Rust, repositories with over 500 GitHub stars each, reflecting the kind of polyglot complexity you actually encounter in enterprise environments, not synthetic single-language problems designed to make models look good. The methodology upgrade matters for governance reasons. DataCurve's audit found that SWEbench Pro carried an 8.5% false positive rate and, this is the damaging one, a 24% false negative rate in its verification system. That means nearly 1 in 4 correct solutions was flagged as wrong. Procurement decisions built on SWEbench Pro scores are structurally unreliable. DeepSWE reduces those error rates to 0.3% false positives and 1.1% false negatives. That is a verification system you can actually trust. So what does the leaderboard actually show? GPT 5.5 achieves a 70% pass rate at $5.80 per trial with an average wall clock time of 20 minutes. Claude Opus 4.7 lands at roughly 55% pass rate, $16 per trial, and 37 minutes per trial. Gemini 3.5 Flash matches GPT 5.5 on cost at $5.80 per trial, but its pass rate collapses to 28%. Building on that, the cost per trial comparison is the wrong lens. The metric that actually matters is cost per successful resolution. GPT 5.5, $8.29 per success. Claude Opus 4.7, $29.09 per success. Gemini 3.5 Flash looks cheap until you account for all the failed trials you still pay for. At a 28% pass rate, you are paying for roughly 3.5 failed attempts for every one that works. The apparent efficiency evaporates immediately. Let's put the annual numbers on the table. For a 50-engineer team running 500 trials per week, the API spend difference between GPT 5.5 and Claude Opus 4.7 is $150,800 per year versus $416,000 per year. That is a $265,000 annual differential before you factor in the downstream rework costs from the accuracy gap itself. The wall clock difference of 20 minutes versus 37 minutes per trial also compounds across CI/CD pipelines where agents run continuously, creating throughput implications your DevOps leads will feel directly. The strategic play for your board is this: model selection has become a P&L level decision, not an engineering preference. The benchmark also surfaced a specific behavioral failure mode worth flagging. According to Berman's analysis citing DataCurve's research, Claude configurations misstated requirements more than any other model family on multi-part prompts, frequently implementing one behavior branch while forgetting parallel requirements. For teams maintaining financial services middleware, healthcare integration layers, or logistics APIs where multi-requirement adherence is non-negotiable, the behavioral difference translates directly into rework rates that compound quickly. Two caveats before you start drafting migration plans. First, Claude Opus 4.7 was not tested with Claude Code, its native harness, which may understate its true performance. The rule here is evaluate model plus harness together, not model in isolation. Second, Composer 2.5, which gets strong practitioner praise, does not appear on the Deep SWE leaderboard at all. Treat it as an evaluation candidate requiring internal benchmarking before you build architectural assumptions around it. The right immediate action is not a stack migration, it is instrumentation. Calculate your current cost per trial and cost per successful resolution against your own code base. Without that baseline, any model evaluation you run is unverifiable against your specific task types. Then design a 4-week parallel evaluation, 50 to 100 representative production tasks, identical harness configuration, GPT 5.5 versus your incumbent. The success gate the benchmark implies, GPT 5.5 needs to show at least 10% cost reduction or at least 10% accuracy improvement on your specific tasks before the switching cost is justified. And here is the durable insight underneath all of this. The AI landscape produces a new leading model every 6 to 9 months. The moat is not which model you have selected today. The moat is the evaluation infrastructure, workflow orchestration, and proprietary outcome data you build on top of whichever model is currently leading. Organizations that instrument their agentic coding workflows, tracking requirement adherence rates, rework frequency, trial costs, build a governance capability that detects and exploits each model transition faster than competitors who are watching benchmark announcements and reacting. The infrastructure is the competitive advantage. Any specific model is a component within it. Now let's connect that architectural principle to a second finding from this briefing cycle, because the same logic plays out in document generation workflows, and the lesson is almost identical. A practitioner documented at AI News and Strategy Daily has identified that the capability gap between AI generation and enterprise-grade artifact reliability is not a model capability problem. It is a quality infrastructure problem. The intervention is a multi-model hostile review loop. Codex handles generation and structural construction. Claude Opus 4.7 handles adversarial audit with a dedicated enumeration-only prompt. The separation of generation and audit into distinct model invocations is the critical design decision. A model tasked with both building and reviewing optimizes for completion, not for error discovery. The hostile reviewer prompt, and this is worth committing to your team's playbook, reads, "Read this deck or workbook as a skeptical reviewer who suspects every claim and every number. For each slide or sheet, identify claims without source attribution, numbers without a data source, charts whose underlying data is not traceable, formulas inconsistent across parallel rows or columns, and assumptions presented as facts. Produce a written list of every issue found. Do not fix anything, just enumerate." That final instruction, enumerate, do not fix, is load-bearing. It prevents the model from simultaneously resolving what it finds, which degrades the quality of the issue list.
The loop then pipes the edit list back to Codex for revision.
Opus 4.7 rechecks. The loop repeats until the quality threshold is met. A final language pass removes LLM-isms from the document body, and human review handles the near-final output. The practitioner's deeper diagnosis, source disorganization, not model capability, is the root cause of AI-generated artifact failures. There is a direct parallel here to ML systems, where models with clean, labeled, conflict-resolved training data outperform architecturally equivalent models trained on messy corpora. The same principle applies to inference time context injection for document generation. Before any generation request, invest in a source packet, a structured index of every input file with ownership, date, status, whether it is actuals, estimates, superseded material, or drafts, and explicit conflict resolution when two sources contradict each other. For Excel-based financial models, the three-layer architecture the practitioner documents maps directly onto standard data pipeline design. Layer 1 loads raw data exactly as sourced with no transformations. Layer 2 contains all assumption and calculation logic. Layer 3 produces output views that reference Layer 2 exclusively. The diagnostic test is simple. Change one assumption and confirm the relevant output changes for the correct reason. If it does not, the workbook is a formatted table, not a model. That is the spreadsheet equivalent of a unit test, and it catches the category of error where revenue growth formulas get incorrectly copied across projection years with no Excel error flag triggered. Pulling back to the MLOP's implications, the quarterly model reevaluation cadence needs to become standing operational infrastructure, not a one-time procurement exercise. The trigger condition is clear. If a new model achieves a 10-plus point deep SWE improvement over your selected model, initiate reevaluation immediately rather than waiting for the scheduled review cycle. The instrumentation to operationalize this is a lightweight but persistent logging layer around every agentic trial, capturing trial ID, model ID, harness ID, pass or fail, elapsed time, token counts, multi-part requirement adherence, and estimated cost. Without that telemetry, your reevaluation comparisons are based on vendor benchmark data rather than your production codebase characteristics. For deployment policy on AI-generated artifacts, route outputs through review infrastructure based on consequence level. High-risk outputs, numerical synthesis for board materials, regulatory language, claims traveling to senior leadership, require mandatory senior human review regardless of AI confidence. Medium-risk outputs, source attribution, structured data extraction, use the multi-model loop. Low-risk outputs, formatting, design exploration, template application, accept AI output directly. This is the artifact generation equivalent of graduated deployment environments. You do not run untested code directly in production, and you do not route board-level financial calculations through the same review pipeline as slide formatting. The risk and opportunity pairing to carry out of this briefing. The risk is measuring cost per trial instead of cost per successful resolution, and applying uniform review burden to AI outputs, regardless of consequence level. Both produce the same failure mode, optimizing the wrong metric at the wrong layer of abstraction, which generates systematically wrong decisions. The opportunity is the organizations that build the evaluation infrastructure now, the outcome logging, the quarterly model review cadence, the source packet discipline, the hostile reviewer loop, will compound that advantage through every model generation that follows. The moat is the process, not the model. Thank you for spending this time with the Business Pragmatist briefing. That is your AI briefing for today. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your CR brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.